Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. There was a report in the papers today that the snooker heads were going to come down very hard on toilet breaks within the sport. And we thought, how are they going to do that? When you've got to go, you've got to go. Mm. Well, luckily, we had someone on the board of World Snooker, and a former player, Ken Doherty, joined us, didn't he?
That was good.
He was good.
Ollie Horowitz was fascinating, the caddy.
Caddy, author, and golf nut. He talked. He was at Bethpage as we spoke, wasn't he, watching the USPGA?
And he's played there a couple of times this week, so you hear that.
Yeah.
I'll bet we discussed the game last night. Well, sort of a half the game, because we were saving the other half for Mark Smith, which you won't hear. And
Over-explained that.
Yeah, thank you.
And what else happened? Oh, yeah, we had this incredible revelation. Literary revelation, didn't we? From Bob Bubka.
Literally a revelation.
A literary revelation. And here, you want to over-explain anything else, or can we go now? That's it, is it? Fantastic. So I said to Jean, Jean said to me, you know Jean from 15, number 15. She couldn't listen to last week. Anyway, here it all is. We can kind of talk about Leeds. We can talk about Bielsa now, can't we? Because Tim Vickery will be here tomorrow. He's in the UK and he's popping in to see us tomorrow. And he's a seasoned Bielsa watcher, but it'll be interesting to see what he does next. He said if they want him to stay, he'll stay. That's essentially what he said already, isn't it?
They're going to need... I think this thing of only using a certain amount of players is a problem, and it's a recurring problem for him that teams tend to blow up. But
Do you know he's a disciple of that?
Who?
Maurizio Pochettino.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know...
Well, so is Guardiola. He's the father to a lot of them.
They buy into that philosophy. You
know, and
Where some people have suggested that Spurs have not added to their squad simply because the manager likes working with a small squad.
Well, it's the same with Sarri. You know, he said, Pep told me I need to use 14 players.
Yeah.
I think we've only got 14 players left now. But I feel a bit, because I wanted Derby to win. I did, because of Frank and Jody and the Chelsea connection and all that.
Yeah.
But you have to say, it was difficult. I was torn because I was slightly disappointed, A, for Leeds fans, and B, the atmosphere at Elland Road was fantastic. It would have been great for the Premier League if they'd managed to get back. Mm. Can't all get back. And it would have been great if they'd got back automatically, no disrespect to the other two. But they do play some lovely football. But I did think, one of my notes last night, if Leeds do come up, they'll take some right pastings in the Premier League, the way they play.
Yeah.
They're so open and...
Under Bielsa, certainly.
Under Bielsa, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think they'd get anywhere near it if it wasn't under Bielsa. But both, it was great for both teams. I see Izzy Brown at the end, we were talking about him. He tried a David Luiz free kick with about the same result.
Yeah, that's right. He tried to kind of side foot the valve and it didn't quite work out.
And Roof was a big miss. You know, if you've got a bloke that always scores against a team and then he can't play, so that was a miss. But
Bamford's, I mean, again, the public school system, I suppose we're supposed to be about fair play, isn't it? Well, I mean, we've seen him fade an injury and last night going down very cheaply for a pen.
I didn't think that was a dive. I thought he made contact. It wasn't a penalty, but I didn't think it was a dive either. I think his previous got him booked there.
He went looking for contact. This is the trouble. He's getting a reputation, isn't
it? That's right. Yeah, exactly.
I told you, Jefferson Lerma, you're getting yours next year, mate. Karma. It'll come round. You'll get yours next year.
Definitely. What a player Mason Mount is, though. So we'll talk to Matt.
You're not as talking Wilson. You're not as sure about Wilson as you are Mount.
I like him. I think he's a lovely striker of a ball. I think he does well, and he's definitely going to be a top player and have a good career. But breaking into that Liverpool team at the moment, is difficult.
But he could be in and around it. He'd get games, wouldn't he?
Would he?
Would you, would you say if they go up, would you give him a year in the Prem with Derby?
I would. I haven't watched enough of him to absolutely. So I've only seen him when I've watched Derby, which is probably about half a dozen times, so it's not really enough to judge a player. But I think he's got some great attributes, and I'm sure, you know, he probably eventually will play for Liverpool, whether he's ready now. Whereas I think Mount is ready, especially in Chelsea's position that they're in. So
We should mention that. That's a real shame. That's the two Achilles in the space of a couple of weeks for two very good young players.
If it is, we don't know. It's not confirmed that.
Isn't it? Really? No. Okay, right. I didn't know that.
It's not confirmed. I mean, it's, you know, it's, somebody said they haven't even got back to London. Right. Yeah, I think they have to x-ray it and see what.
Because that's a six-monther, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, but if you, you know, it's a perfect storm, isn't it? Your two best young players have already been blooded out for 6 months is not ideal.
Yeah.
And your transfer ban, you know, you haven't really got much in the way of strikers. So, you know,
you did say a funny line in the office, though.
Yeah, that way. I wasn't serious.
He said, we're just next year, we'll just consolidate, hope to stay up, and then we'll come back the following year with 200 million to spend.
Well, they'll have
about
250 million to spend, and they'll have blooded players like Ampadu and Mount and players like that. So, you know,
so you have to have like Glastonbury, one fallow year.
Well, I think sometimes you have to be reasonable. You know, it's a bit much to think that, you know, that with all the things against them, they're going to challenge City and Liverpool. And City are so confident, they've already booked their hotel at Wembley for both cup finals. Mm. That's how confident they are.
I know, I did see that. Yeah.
I wouldn't bother with the European place, though. I think I'd give that a couple of minutes.
Oh, you never know. They put a they've got a light pencil through it. Do they get their money back if they just kind of booked it? I mean, anybody can do that, can't they? I'm now wishing I had, of course.
Yeah.
We're going to talk ticketing, as you've been hearing. The Spirit of Shankly and the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust have called on the blue chip sponsors of the...
You don't live that far from Wembley. It wouldn't be much point you booking a hotel.
No, it wouldn't really, no. Blue chip sponsors of the Champions League to give back some of their tickets. We'll be having a chat about that and hearing from different sources on that one as well a little bit later on. But I had sufficient points. My tickets...
well done.
My ticket was secured earlier on today. Good. But I do feel for the people that... I mean, guys I sit with missed out by about 4 or 5 points, you know, which is what you needed to get tickets over the 209.
I'm sure both clubs have plenty of heartache stories. It always is in a final. It'll be the same on Saturday as well. There'll be fans who've loved Watford and City for years but can't get there. You know, it's not right, but it's the nature of these big finals.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, the supporters groups as well as Arsenal and Chelsea have been having their say, because, you know, you kind of feel enough is enough, really. They keep talking about the fans as the lifeblood of the sport, but... Mm. You know, only to an extent.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've heard about strategic comfort breaks in sport, especially in tennis, haven't we? And
people
have been crying foul. So I was a bit shocked to read this today in The Sun. All it says is this: snooker bosses plan to clamp down on toilet cheats. Not toilet seats, obviously. World Snooker Chairman Barry Hearn said there were concerns that some players were using loo breaks as a form of gamesmanship.
Yeah, try and break the momentum of a losing run of frames.
It's quite a difficult thing to police, isn't it?
I would imagine.
Well, it's like being at school, isn't it?
We have to send people to the loo.
There's always that boy at school that the teacher thought he said, no, you're not going to the loo, Jones. And then he wets himself in the class and
poor old Jones.
Poor old Jones, yeah. He never quite got over it. Jones. Don't know if it was his first name or his surname. I never bothered to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, joining us now, Snooker's very own Ken Doherty. Good afternoon, Ken.
Good afternoon, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Ken. Have you opponents popping off to the loo? Has it bothered you over the years?
No, it's not really. I suppose it's become more prominent. There's no doubt about it. But as you said, it's very hard to monitor, isn't it? I mean, a lot of players need to go because they're sitting there drinking a lot of water, you know, and you can't, you don't mind that. Some of them might go after every frame, which when that happens, it gets a little bit frustrating. Like, you don't really need to go every frame. Some of them want to get out just to sort of clear their head, or some of them might want to go out after winning a frame to sort of let the other player just sort of stew in his seat a little bit. But as you said, it's very hard to monitor, you know, unless you put a bucket beside the table.
But if you're playing like in a game, you're sort of playing Peter Ebdon, and he's on a and you're into your fifth hour, and he's got 50.
I think you're using the full facilities.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, I think. Yeah. But I mean, have you ever sat the thought?
You're only on the second frame.
Yeah, exactly. If he doesn't finish soon, I'm going to wet myself. Have you ever thought that, Ken, sitting in the chair?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Some players have gone out mid frame. A few players have done that, actually. You know, I remember Alex Higgins doing it once when Cliff Thorburn was at the table. He didn't actually make the toilet, and relieved himself in a plant pot in the practice room.
Oh, no.
I got fined for it. The tournament director, Cotterby, got fined for it, and it was the most expensive pee in snooker history.
Wow. But I'd imagine that, you know, if you're in the middle of a game and you're dying to go, I mean, you can't be jiggling about, can you, when you're playing snooker? I mean, you need a steady hand.
I think when you're out there at the table, you probably, you know, you could probably wait then. But it's when you're sitting there waiting where there's not as much to occupy your mind.
I don't know. Well, ask Ken. I mean, Ken, if you approach the table and you need to go, that's going to affect you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, the legs are, you know, you've got to keep a steady leg as well as a steady hand.
That's what I thought.
But no, I mean, I've seen players like in mid-frame, players who were at the table, like I've seen Neil Robertson do it a few times. I remember Terry Griffiths doing it a few times back in the day. Players have done that quite a lot over the last number of seasons. But as I said, I think it's good that for the World Snooker, I mean, I'm on the World Snooker board, we're trying to sort of make players more aware of it, that they're being monitored now, rather than what I don't like is for players who go out pretending they're going to the toilet and then want to have like a cheeky fag or you know, a puff of their vapour like in the toilet. I don't like that. So I think that's wrong. So I think if players are more sort of become more aware of the situation and they know they're being monitored, then we can clamp down a little bit more on it, you know.
So, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing just to check players and make them aware of their responsibilities and the fact that they are being watched and this sort of thing is being noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been incidents where players are not going to the toilet, they're going into the toilet, but they're taking out their little vapour and having a few drags of the vapour just to calm their nerves down, or having a quick cigarette just before they go back. So we want to sort of clamp down on that. But if the guy's got to go, they've got to go. We don't want them spoiling the carpet, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to lower the tone, but in the history of snow, has anyone ever broken wind as they take a shot?
Oh, yes. Loads of times. I remember a lot of players have done it, and I remember Bill Werbedick did it at the World Championship once, and Dennis Taylor would recount the story many, many times, where he was bending over the table because of all the gas and all the liquid that he used to drink, all the lager.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of gas build up, and he bent over the table and he let one rip. And it wasn't a silent one, it was quite loud. And he got down off the table, laughed to himself, and pointed to someone in the front row and said, "Was that you?"
Really?
Well, I mean, he's not the only one because Judd Trump is not his real name. That's all I'm saying. He changed it for a reason. Maybe we should talk about him because what a fantastic victory for him. And I saw him saying that somebody in the first round when he was 6-3 down and he was called a butler by somebody, I think, on social media. I mean, they're the margins, aren't they, sometimes in a tournament?
Oh, yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, he played magnificently in the final. He sort of got better as the tournament went on. And, you know, Tepchoya, who knew from Thailand, it was just one ball away from sort of knocking him out, 10-9 in that first round. But he held himself together. Trump he won that last frame against him, 10-9, and went sort of from strength to strength, particularly in the final. I mean, the 8 frames in a row that he won in the second session against John Higgins was just magnificent. It was some of the best snooker that we've ever seen at the World Championship, particularly in a final, you know.
Obviously, Barry was very excited and he was talking about what he could be the next big superstar of snooker. And I think maybe that's not a bad thing. I don't understand why Barry says that because we don't quite know with Ronnie, do we? He was talking the other day about having a year off to become a chef and that, you know, if you, the man who's kind of carrying the torch for the sport an awful lot of the time and is its kind of main personality, it doesn't hurt to maybe have somebody come along in his slipstream, does it?
No, absolutely not. And I mean, what a player to come along as well. Someone who's very flamboyant, you know, expressed himself on the table. Reminds me of like a Jimmy White, a young Jimmy White of old, who when he gets to the end of the frame, will sort of entertain the crowd. I mean, and some of the pots and some of the shots that he can play, it's just breathtaking, you know. And no, I think you're right. I think for him to take over the mantle now, Ronnie, someone who's been our talisman for many, many years. And but yeah, if he keeps saying he's going to have a breakaway tour, go off to be a chef. We sort of, you know, the game is sort of moving on now, and maybe this might be the sort of a new era for Judd Trump now to go on and dominate the way Ronnie has dominated, the way John Higgins and Mark Williams have dominated over the last few years.
Don't mention anyone's slipstream.
No, I'm not going to mention the slipstream, not after the conversation we had earlier on. And just finally, how are you and Jackie Chan getting on? Is there still a bromance there?
There's a bit of bromance there. I haven't spoken to him at all, but I have a little cue for him, a little present for him from John Paris, who's the best cue maker. So the next time I'm over that way, I'll bring it to him. And I want to get me lines from me parrot in Russia for it. So I have to...
Fantastic. Brilliant. Always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, lads. Have a great day.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Over in Long Island, Beth Page, the Black Horse. Mm. And the word brutal keeps coming up whenever you hear about it.
Mm.
There's some tough holes there. And someone who's there right now, as the author of a fine book, popped in and saw us when he was in the UK, an American caddy at St Andrews. He is a golf nut and a caddy to boot. It's Ollie Horovitz. Hi, Ollie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's a great pleasure. So, this is a tough course, as we've been hearing, isn't it? You've played it.
Oh, I've played it many times. I had to sleep in my car overnight a couple weeks ago to get to get one of the slots because it only opened for 2 weeks. Look, it's brutal. It's 7,432 yards, par 70, so it's super long. But then it's just been raining basically the whole month of April and then the last couple of days. So that rough that wasn't really supposed to be so thick and crazy is now brutally thick. And I was on the course all day yesterday, and I was putting my hand in the rough, and it just goes further down than you think.
Wow.
So the rough, it doesn't look bad, but then you actually get in it. Oh, my God, guys, it's like Carnoustie thick.
It's always a balance for these tournament organisers setting up the course, isn't it, Ollie? Because if you make it too easy, people don't like that. People are like 15 under par and all this. If you make it too difficult, then and the players end up looking like weekend duffers, that's no good either, is it?
That's right. And what's interesting is, as you guys all know, this has previously hosted two U.S. Opens, and it's also hosted the Barclays twice in the FedEx Cup. So we've seen it in two really different setups. We saw it when it was just brutal in 2002 and 2009, and then we saw it when it wasn't too bad in, like, you know, in 2016. But this is getting closer to, I wouldn't say it's a U.S. Open setup, but it's getting closer to really, really tough. I mean, we just saw Tiger on his opening hole on number 10. He missed the fairway by about a foot, guys, on the 10th hole. He had 201 yards. He had to lay up. He couldn't even take it on. So I've been telling all my friends, you know, for weeks, I think number 10 is harder than 15 even. I think it's the hardest hole in the course. So to have to start on 10 like he did, like Tiger had to, that's a really tough way to start your PGA Championship, isn't it, off of 10?
What about the 7th? I mean, this is Tiger was talking about this yesterday. It's 524 yards. Normally it's a par 5, which is what you'd expect for that length of hole, and it's a par 4, and Tiger's saying no one can reach the green in 2. It's a strange. I wonder why they decided to make it a par 4.
Oh, it's wild. Yeah, I always play 7 really badly. I play Beth Page and Tom with my buddy Spiro, and 7, we play it as a 5, but it's a really, you know, look, here's the thing. It's all about angles on 7. If you get blocked out by those trees, because it's a real hard dogleg right, you have almost no shot at getting to the green anyway. And angles are a big thing on this golf course. 1, 2, number 5, number 7, number 9. The list just goes on and on. You have these angles where you get blocked out by these big, tall trees that they have all over Beth Page. But, yeah, I mean, look, 7, 524 yards is playing as a 4. I think they've just done it because, you know, you have in the same group as Tiger, you have Brooks Koepka, who just bombs it, you know? So they had to go a little bit, but still, 7,432 yards for a par 70. Geez, I'm not good enough to play that.
I mean, people say horses for courses. Do you look at a course like this and say, that'll suit this one, that'll suit him, or, you know, and you mentioned Brooks Koepka there. I mean, anybody else you think that should do well?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brooks, I've felt good about him for so long coming in because he's such a great driver of the golf ball. I mean, I still think you're going to have to be accurate off the tee. You know, I'd love to see Tommy Fleetwood do well this week. But you've got to be accurate. That rough is so much thicker than it could have been. But I'll tell you what, the golf course looks absolutely stunning. I was out there all day Monday and then on Wednesday. It does 30,000 rounds a year, this golf course. It costs $65 to play as a New Yorker. It's a public course, and look how fabulous it looks. I'm blown away by how good a job they've done of making this championship ready. It's just, it's a gem of New York golf. It really is.
You mentioned Tommy Fleetwood. He admitted that he'd never been to Bethpage. He'd kind of seen it played on TV, but he's never played, which obviously is not going to help him.
It's incredible. And I'll tell you another thing that's so fun is the crowds. I mean, everyone talks about the crowds, but, you know, it's an hour on the train from Manhattan, and then you're in Farmingdale, and it's a five-minute ride to the course. So it's just packed with New Yorkers all week. And New York crowds are wonderful. They're loud. We've been so excited for the championship this whole year. Everyone's just been waiting for it. And I think, you know, the crowds are going to get behind someone like a Phil, but I feel like they're going to love Tommy too. So it just makes the championship special. It's the New York gem of a golf course, and New Yorkers are so proud of this course and also how hard it's playing, because that's part of it as well. It's, you know, the black, we're seeing the black as tough as it can be right now.
And what are the ticket prices like, Ollie, to come to the event?
Well, that's a great point. So, to be honest with you, there's a bit of a secondary market for tickets. We have this thing StubHub, so I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but you get tickets to the practice rounds for $6 US. So for like $5, you could get a ticket on the secondary market. So it's very accessible. This is not a ticket to Center Court Wimbledon. This is not a ticket to Augusta. I was just talking to my dad about that yesterday. Anyone can go. So you're not seeing just, you know, the rich corporate guys there. You're seeing real, you know, firemen, policemen are there alongside the Wall Street bankers. So it's a masterpiece. Architect A.W. Tillinghouse, those bunkers are just gems. And, you know, it's one of five golf courses there. It's a beautiful state park, and it's hosting a real fabulous championship.
Yeah. Are you still caddying? Still doing a bit of that these days?
So I've actually been hosting a show called Caddy Codes, which is on Shop with Golf, NBC. And as part of that, it's been kind of fun. I got to actually spend a day with all the Bethpage caddies for an episode of the show. And I've been there was three of the senior caddies. And by the way, one of them, Jack Miller, who's a good buddy of mine. Watch out for him this week, guys, because he's the only local caddy to get a bag in the tournament. He's caddying for Jazz Jane Watanand, who's the 23-year-old Thai golfer. And I was talking to Jack yesterday, and he's just so excited. He said, "Ollie, I can't believe the week's finally here, and I can't believe I'm in the show." So Jazz Jane Watanand, the 23-year-old, he's got a local guy on his bag, and he's got one of the best, Jack Miller. So we got Jack on the episode of Caddy Codes.
Good stuff.
Excellent. Lovely to speak to
you. Good to talk to you, Ollie. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Are you up for tomorrow's How Low Can You Go Impersonating Bob Bupka competition?
What? Really? Have I got to try it?
No,
or is
you
this the TalkSport listeners?
TalkSport listeners.
Okay.
We'll get a bit of Bob doing one of his classic sign-offs.
Yeah.
And then the listeners have to come on and see if...
Try and get lower.
Lower.
How are we measuring this? We're just going to...
Well, by our ears.
Oh, okay, fair enough. You've got no scientific measurements.
No scientific measurement whatsoever. It'll be a judgment call.
Fair enough. We will tomorrow have a good FA Cup preview with Motti. Synonymous with the competition. So, yeah, we'll be doing that when he joins us tomorrow afternoon.
That's good. Did you see there's research that's been done into British drinking habits. Oh, yeah. Brits are the world's biggest drinkers, so you won't be surprised to hear
You've seen that video of Ray Parler and Alan Brazil, then, have you?
Yes.
In Waitrose.
Well, you told me about it.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
I love the idea that they're doing a programme with Amazon on beer drinking.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's a good idea, actually. Mm. I mean, I think who better than Ray Allen, not Ray Allen, yeah. He wouldn't be any
No,
good.
Ray's powers of speech go when he has too many, so I think you're going to have to do it in one take. I think that's going to be
key. The thing he always says, I'm driving.
I'm driving, lads. I'm right, I'm driving. When it clearly isn't.
Yeah. And anyway, the research was conducted by somebody called Professor Adam Weinstock.
Yeah.
Weinstock, that's a seller, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
Very well named. And you're not always, Rod Little's a very good columnist, but I don't know, like all columnists, you don't always agree with them. But I do agree with what he said today. And I always get that feeling. He says, I'm feeling a bit bereft. It's always the same at this time of year. The football season is over. He means the Premier League, the league season. Mm. And it's true, really. I mean, there is football and there's the Women's World Cup and there's... But it's the rhythm of your life. It's that match of the day, Super Sunday, that sort of Champions League.
Yeah.
I know what he means by that.
But for a non-tournament year, we're not too badly off this summer.
No,
because you're going to go from the playoff finals, more or less straight into the Nations League, aren't you? Then you're going to go into the Women's World Cup. Pre-season friendlies, mad tournaments all around
transfer
the forest.
Transfer window for all the other clubs.
That's right, transfer window. Yeah, I mean, it won't be bothering us, or maybe it will have slightly more this year.
I think it will be, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Sessegnon saying that he wants to go to Spurs.
Have you heard him say that?
I haven't. He didn't say it to me personally.
No.
When I invited him round.
These are the reports that he wants to go to this club or that club, but we've not heard anything definite, have we?
I know Gemma Collins is an easy target, but there was a piece about her. She's gone to America, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it says here, the GC also visited cosmetic surgeon Dr. Simon Urien to suck fat out of her face. I think, that's not much of a job, is it?
I imagine with some kind of pump. Really? Yeah, not like a snake bite. It can't be that, can it? Anyway, the big story of the day popped up in the Sun today. A nan got a table football set for her grandson.
Oh, yeah.
And saw the goalie had his tackle out, we're told. Chrissy Samuels, 52, believes factory workers must have left him naked from the waist down for a laugh.
Left him? This is
this. She said she bought the vintage set from a charity shop so she could play along with her football mad grandson, Warren, 7. She said, I had a pal over and we were messing around with the table when I suddenly noticed the goalie had no shorts. I burst out laughing. Then I realised this wasn't appropriate. I was stunned at the level of detail. Below the waist. I've no idea how it got through quality control. Now, Chrissy's working on the basis that every table football player is like a Leonardo anatomical drawing. So it's basically all the genitalia is carefully drawn on by the factory workers in China, who then draw on a pair of shorts, because it's all about getting authenticity.
Well, you want authenticity.
I would work on the basis that what's happened there is that someone who used to have that table before it ended up in the charity shop thought it would be a bit of a laugh to paint sort of flesh tone over the goalie's shorts and then give him a willy.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So that's somebody's done that for a laugh. Yeah. Clearly, what they don't draw everything in detail in the factory and then put a pair of white shorts on it. Because that's not cost effective, is it?
I don't know.
If you take that into the den, hi, I'm looking for £25,000 for 10% of the business to draw genitalia on table footballers and then paint them out. I mean, Peter Jones would laugh you out of the room, wouldn't he?
Duncan Bannatyne might be in it.
Well, he might be in it. I doubt it.
It makes you wonder what's underneath the Ace Abutio player's shorts.
Well, nothing, Andy. It doesn't make you think that because there's nothing under there.
Anyway, also in the paper this morning is the inventor, Matti Paso from Helsinki in Finland, who's invented a human car wash. It's a rotating brush that scrubs the neck, shoulders and back. It's very good. It's revolutionised washing for immobile people. So he said it's for those who struggle in the shower. But you're thinking, what about the bottom part? Which is a part that often needs more washing than the top part.
Also, these things, your car wash can malfunction. No one's doing it on you, do you, really? The shower sort of does that job, as the producer pointed out.
It doesn't really. I can see. There it is.
So a bunch of different brushes that would under your chin.
That's quite
a nice idea,
really.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll pick you one up, Andy. You'll need one soon.
Thank you very much.
Anything else?
Could be.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
About 5 minutes.
The Hawksman Jacobs. I don't measure any time, Andy. I just measure in the quality of your material.
Well, then that's an even bigger problem.
That for me is everything.
A woman with a rare sleeping disorder this is incredible. She, what happens to this woman is,
yeah,
she falls asleep and then she starts ordering stuff in her sleep. So she
ordering stuff where? What, like
online?
Fast food or
no,
stuff?
No, like stuff on eBay and stuff like that. And she went out and bought.
That's
while
what she
was
told
asleep.
The old man, isn't it, really?
No. While
that's
she
a great
was asleep,
story.
She bought. And it's got a
sleep,
sport.
Sleep shopping.
Sleep shopping. But it's got a sporting connotation because she bought a full size plastic basketball court, which turned up at her house the next day.
A full size basketball court?
Yeah.
Okay.
She probably lives in a flat on the 15th floor. It's not that yeah. useful. No, it doesn't say where she
brilliant.
Did.
I mean, but, yeah. drunk shopping is obviously is a thing. People do that. Our old producer, Denny,
yeah, well,
he
yeah.
used to.
He loved it.
Stuff
yeah.
would turn up. Mr. Boris, here we are. It's just been delivered. Full size basketball court. We had no idea
it
he
was
bought
Derek
it.
Giler working
then,
for Amazon.
Then he bought it 3 o'clock in the morning after he'd come back from the pub. But I've never heard of sleep shopping before. No. That's got to be a new one, I would think. Yeah.
Somebody made the point, actually. I think we were saying this way back at the start of the season. Why is the Premier League season kicking off this week? It doesn't make any sense. Everybody else is kicking off a bit later. And now what's happened?
Premier League. When it started last year, yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, it finished last Sunday. Everybody else in Europe is playing this weekend.
Mm.
And the two English clubs are kind of not kicking their heels because they're probably, you know, being able to sort of lick their wounds and do a bit of training. But it's quite a strange idea, isn't it? There's a gap now, the two and a half week gap between, well, actually 3 weeks to the Champions League.
Yeah.
Strange.
But yeah, well, you're right. They came out of a World Cup earlier and a few players suffered from that. They probably had their reasons. I think they just want to build a bit of fat into the schedule, don't they, in case there's issues. But
A couple of Watford stories that are nice. Yeah. Elton John's kids will be leading the team out. And I think that's a really lovely story.
I didn't realise Noel Gallagher wouldn't be at the final either. I knew Elton John wouldn't. He's got a gig. But no. Noel Gallagher's over in the Far East with his band, so he won't be at the final either.
Yeah, he's seen a lot of success, whereas Elton, you know.
It's been a while.
Different. Yeah, it's been a while. And Adrian Mariappa, the Watford player, is one of a growing number of players who have turned vegan. There must be something in this, because especially when they get to the latter stage of their career, they all say that it helps with injuries. And help. I think you're going to see more and more players. I mean, Graham Williams, the old Graham Keep Fit that we hear, he won't be happy, will he?
This was the former West Brom and Wales fullback.
We used to have this record called Keep Fit with Graham Williams.
It was made in the, what, 60s?
And he'd say, before the game, I like a steak and a nice pint of milk.
He used to say, eat lots of meat, drink lots of milk.
Yeah.
And he didn't quite say it like that, and you're putting words in his mouth.
I probably did, really.
And he was Welsh, so well, that was. So, yeah, but he did. I mean, really, that's what players did. They ate lots of steak and they drank lots of milk, didn't they?
I couldn't find it. I was trying to find it. We've obviously lost it. We had it years ago, but of course, our archive system, not the finest.
Yeah.
So we haven't got it anymore, but I tried to find it somewhere, but we couldn't.
What, this was the Graham Williams
Keep
thing.
Fit with Graham Williams. We used to play it. We had a few years where we played it every January.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Great. We did. It was to try and get everybody. Wasn't it pre-season to try and get everybody?
No, January. I think it was the idea to sort of like after Christmas.
Okay. What, to eat lots of meat and drink lots of milk? Doesn't sound like much of a diet, does it?
Not really. No.
Mariappa was also talking about bemoaning the fact that we've talked about this before, haven't we? With players of a certain vintage, how character forming it was to clean the boots, and sometimes work with the ground staff. Sort of painting the terraces and things like that that the players used to get roped into. Clearing
was,
the gym.
Oh, no, Alan was talking about on breakfast.
He was,
this morning.
He said he didn't enjoy the job of picking up the sweaty old kit.
No, that's right.
But it was character building for a lot of these kids. I mean, I think you'd get a bit of a shock now. They should maybe have a sort of throwback Thursday. One day when all the young apprentices go in, some of them there on about 35 grand a week, and then they're just told by the senior pros to clean up the dressing room and clean the showers and see if they view it as character and say, yes, let's do this every Thursday. It's character building.
It's character building.
That's right.
I never was convinced that it was character.
I don't even clean out my own Bentley, they say. So why would I clean out the dressing room?
That's very true.
Yeah, I'll take it down the
car
wash.
Now, we should thank Ollie, our temporary tech op today, who's done a sterling job because Bill had a bit of a family emergency, so he was called away.
Yeah.
And Ollie normally does the drive time, don't you, Ollie? And so he's done Jim's show, our show. And
he's like Phil Collins at Live Aid.
I'm pretty impressed with that.
He's going to do a show in Philadelphia about 8 o'clock tonight.
So he might need a bit of help when I say, is Pele available?
Oh, okay.
John, can you?
You can do that now, right?
I've got a T20 birthday spread for you.
You left it quite late. Look.
I know, I did. I left it too late. Should I save it?
Yeah, go and save it. Don't worry, right,
Ollie,
calm down.
Yeah,
we'll do it later.
I've left it too late.
Keep it in the bank, but we'll do it before 4 o'clock.
If not, I'll do it tomorrow.
Fair enough. He won't be here then. You've just wasted his time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Bob, we have a very quick question for you.
I had a question as well.
Go ahead.
This is from Ian in Peebles. He said, having listened to Bob Burt for years on the station, could he tell me what part of the States that amazing voice originates from?
Well, thanks for the compliment on the amazing voice, but it came just about 50 miles from where we're located here at Bethpage Black on the end of Long Island, a little community called Sag Harbor. Oh. And there were 14 classmates in my senior class in high school, allowing me to tell everybody my entire life that I graduated in the top 20.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Bob didn't mention that fellow famous person from Sag Harbor, the legendary writer, John Steinbeck. Can you ask Bob, did he know Steinbeck? Do you know the Steinbeck family, Bob?
Yeah, I did. Wow. I knew John when I was a youngster, quite a gentleman. They created it. See, and thing about Sag Harbor, guys, that's really fascinating. In the year 1840, it was the largest whaling port in the United States. So it has a rich tradition of whaling ships and everything that goes along with it. John Steinbeck fell in love with Sag Harbor, bought a house out there, got involved. They had a whalers festival for years. John Steinbeck was an active part of that. It really was a thrill to know John Steinbeck, because, you know, the talent that man had was absolutely incredible.
Did he play any golf, Bobby? Didn't get a game of golf in with him at any point?
No, I didn't get a game of golf with him. But I wouldn't get in a game of chess with him either.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had a little more upstairs than I operate with.
He did play a bit of golf. He used to always hit it to the right. You remember that book he wrote of Slice and Men?
Oh, aye.
Come on.
This is it. Let's have your golf-based Steinbeck books. There's one for all the literary geniuses out there.
Never mind.
That's right. Thank you, Bob. That was great, wasn't it? Thank you very much, Chris. In Oxford,
well
for
done,
the
Chris
question.
Oxford,
so
yeah.
There we are. Yeah. Bob knew John Steinbeck. Brian, he kept that quiet, didn't he?
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon.
At least they didn't hear the archers going off in my pocket.
No, that's true. Right at the end of the show, yeah, you would have missed that, folks. Suddenly the archers theme was blaring out across the studio. We could all hear it apart from Andy. And it was going off in his pocket, wasn't it? Yeah fantastic. Down that's with the kids.
It. Yeah.
We'll catch up with you tomorrow from 1 when Motti will be here, and we will also bring you Martin Kellner Clips of the Week and lots more besides.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.